Like I said, there's a lot of good pieces. The first very long piece in the parsha is very Kabbalistic, so we're going to skip over that one for now. The second piece, Ulizikna Yisrael. Ulizikna Yisrael. Okay, so let's see. What do we know about the Zikna Yisrael? I think we mentioned this Medrash once before. The Medrash says, Amar Rabbi Akiva Nimshalu Yisrael La'of. The Jewish people are compared to an oaf, to a bird. Ma of haza eno poreach b'li knafayim, kach Yisrael enom yecholim lasos davar below ziknehem. Right, the Jewish people very much need their elders. How does the parsha begin? Vayehi b'yom hashmini, kara Moshe la'aron ulevanov uleziknei Yisrael. Right, it's the eighth day of the inauguration of the Mishkan, and Moshe calls to Aaron. Okay, he's going to serve in the Mishkan, banov. Okay, we get it, and also to the ziknei Yisrael. Why do you need the Ziknei Yisrael? What's their role? So Rashi says, "L'hashmiyam shal pia dibur Aaron nichnas u'meshamish b'kuhuna gedola, v'lo yomru me'elav nichnas." He wanted to announce to the Zakenim, Moshe wanted to announce that Aaron was being appointed to this position by Hashem. You shouldn't think that he's taking it on his own. So Moshe wanted to inform the Zakenim, who presumably will get the word out to everybody else. But says the Medrash, an amazing idea. The Medrash says, just like a bird can't fly without wings, so too the Jewish people are not able to accomplish whatever it is they need to accomplish without the Ziknei Yisrael. Amar Rabbi Yossi ben Chalafta, Medrash continues, Gedola Zikna, she'im Zakenim heim chavivim heim. Great is old age, precious is old age, because if they're old, and old of course also means wise, then chavivim heim. V'im ne'arim heim, but if they're young, heim tefeila lahem, tefeila lahem hayaldus. But a young person, even a young wise person, again as we mentioned once this Medrash, has a little bit of a yaldus, a childishness to that person. Ad kan lashono. Okay, ad kan the Medrash. Now, he explains here, perish dihine olam hamachshava, explains something, al pipnimius. Okay, we'll skip that for the moment. But he says, what's the idea of this sort of this combination of old age and youth? How do they work together? So he explains the following yesod. I have to try to find it exactly in the piece. But he explains that, see, the advantage of being an older person who worked on himself over the course of his lifetime is that hopefully he's been able to overcome his yetzirah. The advantage of a young person is that you have a lot of energy. You have a lot of passion. So what's amazing about Ziknei Yisrael is that on the one hand, they've calmed themselves down in terms of the taivas of the world, but they still have the passion in terms of Avodas Hashem. Look what he writes over here. He says, a Zaken, we know, is Zeh Shekana Chachma. Right? Zaken is an acronym for Zeh Kana Chachma. So we're talking about a person who's a wise person, a person who is spiritually mature. He has waged battle against his Yetzirah until he has calmed his heart down. He's defeated his Yetzirah. And this person has removed himself from physical pleasures and from a love of this world. But what's amazing about a tzaddik, and you see it, if you've been in the presence of big tzaddikim, you've seen this with your own eyes, how a tzaddik, right, who could care less about certain things that other people get so excited about, the tzaddik who could go to the Super Bowl, right, and watch people jumping for joy as their team scores a touchdown, and the tzaddik would literally sit there with his little gemara and not even look up, because he's like, this is stupid, this is ridiculous. That same tzaddik also knows how to jump up when it comes to Avodas Hashem. So it's not like he's a cold person. It's not like he's disconnected from emotional experiences. It's just that on the one hand, he has been able to defeat the taiva of this world. He doesn't have an ahava for olam hazah pleasures. And yet, at the same time, va'afal pichein, kishaholech lasos ritzon kono, bitfilos v'yehudim, when it comes time for him to daven, when it comes time for him to be engaged in very deep avodas Hashem, mischadesh kenesher ne'urav, he brings a certain youthfulness to the table. Umam lichbor bechol mine avos uchukos veslavas libo. He's able to bring all of that fire and all of that passion and all of that love. It comes back. Right? He somehow finds that youthful strength. There's an amazing story that's told. I think it was about the Baba Vareba. There was a group of people who were sitting together one time, and and someone asked, "Did anyone like bring like the food for this little gathering?" And no one had brought the food. So the Baba Rebbe asked if anyone like wants to go get stuff, and no one was jumping to do it. So the Baba Rebbe said, "You know what? It's not a problem. I have a young man outside. I'll ask him to take care of it." So he goes out. He comes back. And the Rebbe's coming back in with the shopping bags. You know, he bought the snacks for the gathering. And like, Rebbe, you said you had a nar waiting outside. So the Rebbe said, yeah. He said, even though I'm a bit older now, he said, but I kept a part of myself from when I was a nar. And I keep it outside. And sometimes I need to call upon it. Sometimes I need to use it. So don't feel bad that you made, the older Rebbe go out and schlep the bags. No problem. I took the youthful part of myself, which is still, Baruch Hashem, alive and well. And I sent it to the supermarket to go buy some snacks, to go buy some food for the gathering. So tzaddikim have the ability, on the one hand, to be old in the sense of wise, of mature, that they've graduated from some of the lower forms of love that exist in the world. And yet at the same time, that same tzaddik, when it comes to avodas Hashem, becomes like a child. He has a childishness, which is so beautiful to see. That drive, that passion, that excitement, right? That he's eager to jump into mitzvos like a little child. So the Kashrus Rav Maggid goes on and he explains. He says that's part of what this medrash is saying to us, right? The zakenim are so great. The zakenim have wings. What does it mean? The zakenim are the wings of Klal Yisrael, right? The zakenim somehow have the ability to help Klal Yisrael to soar, to help Klal Yisrael to fly. It's not that the zakin, because he's older, has lost that drive and that passion. And when Rabbi Yossi ben Chalafta says in the Medrash, "Great is zikna, she'im zakenim heim chavivim heim," despite being a zakin who has conquered the ahava of this world, chavivim heim, they maintain a certain chavivus, they maintain a certain love for what? For avodas Hashem, that they haven't lost that drive and that passion. I'll show it to you inside. Again, I want to get to other parts of our writings today, but let me see if I can find it quickly. Where is it? Yeah, v'zeh sha'amar Rabbi Yossi ben Chalafta, im zekeinim heim, chavivim heim. Again, the pasha pshat is, if you have wise people who are elderly and wise, that's a beautiful thing. But the way he's learning it is, perish sha'zekeinim heim maleim chiba v'reyes kanoda. That you're a zakein, and at the same time, chavivim, you're still passionate. However, I'm telling you this for a reason. Because sometimes a person, as he becomes more refined, more spiritually sensitive. So it extinguishes some of that passion and drive that a person had. So maybe in high school you were like very into something. And now you feel like, oh, I'm growing religiously, I'm growing spiritually. It's time to move past that, that taiva, that passion, that drive, that silly thing that I was very, makusher to in my younger years. But at the same time, the godless of what the Zakenim are teaching us is that you could be a zakin, you could be a mature person, you could be a person who has his taivas and his avas olam under control, and yet at the same time, to maintain that youthfulness, that excitement and that passion in avodas Hashem. It's not a contradiction. In fact, that's the very beauty of it. Im zakenim him, chavivim him. Despite being a zakin, you could still have that chiba for Torah and mitzvos. Okay, so it's a beautiful little idea. Again, there's a lot more that he says here in the piece, but I wanted to just give you a taste of that piece. Okay, I want to give you a small taste of the next piece as well. It says that Aaron goes and he begins the Avodah. And for the 7 days that Moshe was working in the Mishkan, the presence of Hashem did not yet arrive. All of a sudden, Aaron starts to serve on that eighth day, and Aaron is bringing his karbanos, and all of a sudden, the presence of Hashem appears to Klal Yisrael, right? There's an indication that Hashem's presence has arrived. Vayera kvod Hashem el kol ha'am. The presence of Hashem, the hashras hashchina that they were hoping for by the Mishkan, has taken effect. Okay, great. So then Aaron goes out, the pasuk says, and he gives a bracha to the people. Vayevarchu es ha'am. Aaron raises his hands, he goes out and he blesses the people. Birchas kohanim. So he explains a beautiful yesod. Vayisa Aaron es yadav el ha'am. Aaron raises his hands to the people, and he blesses them, and then he comes down from his avoda of offering these karbanos on the mizbeach. Al pi ma shekasev mo, we can explain based on a yesod, which I think is from the Magid of Mitch, on the pasuk tov ma'at letzadik mehamon rishabim. What does it mean? Tov ma'at latzadik mehamon rishabim. Better a little bit for the tzadik than the masses for the rishon. What does that mean? He explains perish ki al yedei ma'isa harishon v'kisme pegame avonoseim nitma aretz. Chavri, you have to realize that we all have a hashpa in the world, for better or for worse. When there are rishayim who are doing a lot of bad things, it stains the world. It makes a kesem. A kesem is like a stain, a pagam. It damages. The averos damage the world. The world becomes more tamei. Ad shenichnas eiza kesem afilu ba'avodas chach medoram, she'ein lehem behiras kol kach v'gadlus hamochin karoi. And sometimes that hashpa, that stain, is so deep that even the chach mehador, even people who are not connected to these rishayim, they get dragged down by it. The tzaddik doesn't have the clarity that he wants to have because there's a tumah in the air. He's not able to have a godless hamochin. He's not able to be as big as he should be naturally because he's being negatively affected by the environment. Environment matters. The place that you find yourself matters. If you put yourself in a positive atmosphere, you surround yourself with good people, even if you don't interact with them, it has a hashpah on you. And if you're living amongst bad people, if you're living amongst rishayim, that has a hashpah on a person, right? Even if I'm a tzaddik, I don't involve myself with these people. But environment has a hashpah on a person. And he brings a very simple proof that we're all familiar with from the Makos. K'mosha Amar Moshe, like Moshe Rabbeinu said, Kitzesi es ha'ir efros kapai el Hashem. Moshe says, when I go out of the city, I'm going to spread my hands in prayer to Hashem. Why does Moshe need to leave Midtown Mitzrayim in order to daven to Hashem? Explains Rashi, Machmas Sha'ir ha'isa malaya galulim, because the city was filled with Avodah Zarah. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, my channels of tefillah are not fully open when I'm amongst idol worshippers. So explains our Rebbe in the name of his Rebbe, v'ze perish tov ma'at litzadik. Ze sheha tov hu b'bechinas ma'at litzadik hu al yedei hamon rishayim rabim. Why does the tzaddik, who should be successful on a very high level, why does the tzaddik sometimes have ma'at, right? Why is the tov of the tzaddik made ma'at, made small? I'll tell you why. It's because hamon rishayim rabim. It's because of the throngs of rishayim that are somehow influencing and dragging down the tzaddik. The tzaddik, and that's also, by the way, important. When we see a tzaddik who's doing something, right, that strikes us as a little bit unusual. So if it's a true tzaddik, if it's a tzaddik amiti, so, you know, we shouldn't judge so quickly. We should realize that whatever's the tzaddik's inability to be his best is probably because of those around him. Right? The chassidim of the Rebbe have a hashpa on the Rebbe. It's not only the Rebbe having a hashpa on the chassidim have a hashpa on the Rebbe. And therefore, says our Rebbe, mipinu anu lemeidim. So from this yesod we learn, so if large groups of Rishayim or wicked behavior has a negative impact on the tzaddik, so all the more so, a million times over, mikol shekin, birbos tzaddikim, when many tzaddikim get together, obis asef yachad shifte Yisrael la'avod Hashem, when Jews come together in the service of Hashem, mimela misrabe hakedusha umisala hatzadik yoser ki mida tova meruba. You think that the tzaddik is responsible for the tzaddik. It's not true. If the tzaddik is in a place of Rishayim, the tzaddik gets pulled down. And if there are a lot of Jews getting together to do good things together, when a group of Jews get together to do good things together, if there's a tzaddik amongst them, the tzaddik himself is lifted up by the crowd. You go to the Siyam HaShas, when a lot of Jews get together to do something good together, everyone is lifted up. It's not just that the simple guy who's sitting in the back row is getting hashpa from the amazing group of Rosh Yeshiva on the dais. No, they're also being lifted up by the crowd of, so to speak, the regular people. So therefore, Aaron HaKohen is now Kohen Gadol. Aaron HaKohen is now working in the Beis HaMikdash. Aaron HaKohen is now bringing down unbelievable hashpa for Klal Yisrael. But Aaron HaKohen in his humility also understood that what Aaron is experiencing is because of Klal Yisrael. So it explains, I'm jumping ahead a couple of lines, top of the next page. So therefore, just explaining the Pasuk. So says the Pasuk, Vayisa Aaron es yodav el ha'am. Aaron lifted his hands to the people. Why do Kohanim lift their hands to the people when they bless the people? It's a beautiful idea. Perish, shenasa belibo, shema sheyesh lo avos v'yiros hey mipnei ha'am hagarmim lo. Arms or hands represent ava and yira, chesed and gvura. Aaron is saying, my madregos in avodas Hashem come from you. He's thanking the people for helping him to become Aaron HaKohen. Lachein v'yivarechem, and therefore Aaron blesses them as a way of thanking them. Shall yedei shabar bo avas Yisrael hagarmim kol ze b'tzidkasam bercham. Aaron realized that the ava and the yira that I'm feeling, the madregos that I'm reaching, have a lot to do with the tzibur. And that's a really important point also, because sometimes you look at the Aaron HaKohens of the world and you say, okay, you know, I'm not Aaron HaKohen. I'm not going to be a Rosh Yeshiva one day. I'm not going to be the Kohen Gadol one day. But you have to realize that the Kohen Gadol is also able to become Kohen Gadol because of you. It's the effort of every individual that allows Aaron HaKohen to be the best Kohen Gadol he can be. The Kohen Gadol is the shliach of Klal Yisrael. And therefore, when every person does their part, right, we lift up the whole system. And Aaron recognized that. And that's why Aaron, at that moment when Aaron was the one who seemingly brought down the Shechina, Aaron turns to the people and says, thank you. It's only because of the team effort of Klal Yisrael that I was able to do this. Okay? All right, let's go on to the next piece. One of the big sections of our Parsha, of course, is the discussion about kashrus. Right? Parsha Shmini is filled with the laws of what you need to be very careful not to eat, what you can eat, what you can't eat. Zos hachaya asher tochlu. These are the animals that one is allowed to eat. We just finished the Yom Tov of Pesach. Pesach is a Yom Tov that has tremendous sensitivity when it comes to eating. So it's not by chance that we go from the world of Pesach into the world of Parsha Shmini. On Pesach, we're so careful about what we eat and how we eat. And now Parsha Shmini reminds us, as a continuation of that theme, be very careful to continue to eat in the right way. Okay, so let's see. Zos hachaya asher tochlu, these are the animals that you're allowed to eat, says the Medrash Tanchuma. Zehu sha'amar ha-kasuv la'asos ritzoncha elokai chafatzti. To do your desire, Hashem, that's my desire. I want to do what you want, Hashem. And your Torah permeates my innards. Your Torah is in my kishkas. What does that mean? Says the Medrash, Ashreichem Yisrael, Shebechol Eiver ve'Eiver Shebechem Nasan Mitzvah. Ashreichem Yisrael, how fortunate are you, Jewish people, that Hashem gave you a mitzvah for every bit of your body. Every limb of your body can be used in the service of Hashem. There are 248 limbs of a person corresponding to the 248 mitzvos. When we use the restroom, we say, Hashem, you created man with great wisdom, and you made me chalulim chalulim. However, what is the gematria of the word chalulim? Ches lamid vav lamid yud mem. The gematria of the word chalulim is 124. So how much is chalulim chalulim? 248. Right? 124 plus 124. So when we go to the bathroom, right, and we acknowledge the wonders of the body, we remind ourselves, it's not only wonders that I can relieve myself after eating. It's the wonder of the body that every bit of my body can be used in the service of Hashem, has been programmed to serve Hashem. Chalulim chalulim begamatria resh mem ches, kaminyan evarim sheba adam, corresponding to the limbs of a person. So for example, barosh, when it comes to your head, this is a good time of the year to remind ourselves, right? Since it's Sfira Omer, we're not getting haircuts. Make sure when you get your haircut after Sfira, lo sakifu pa'as reishchem. Be very careful not to round off the corners of your head. Payas. You have to make sure that you don't cut your payas too short. Babasar, even in the flesh of a person,
even in your skin. V'seret l'nefesh lo sitnu b'v'sarechem. The Torah says you're not allowed to gash yourself, not allowed to cut yourself as a sign of mourning, which was an ancient practice. Right? You're not allowed to tattoo your flesh. V'od mitzvahs mila. Right? There's a mitzvah of mila to circumcise the flesh. Every bit of the body, every arm, each of your eyes, your nose, your mouth, your ears, every part of you can be used in some way to serve Hashem. Okay, that's the Medrash. Dihine kol ish v'Yisrael. But why did the Medrash introduce with this pasuk? Right, lasos retzoncha elokai chafatzi. Hashem, I want to do your will, and your Torah is in my stomach, so to speak. Is in my innards. What's the pshat? Dihine kol ish v'Yisrael retzono lasos retzon kono. B'torasso utfilasso. Every Jew wants to serve Hashem with Torah, with tefillah. But unfortunately, you know what happens? The Yetzer Hara also dwells inside of us. Torascha b'soch me'ai. I have a neshama inside of me. I have a world of Torah inside of me. I also have a Yetzer Hara inside of me. Anav ha-Yetzer Hara shebekirbo v'koach ha-mis'ava shebe-me'av hu mono me'avodas Hashem Yisparach. But the Yetzer Hara in my innards, the taiva, that feeling of again, taiva inside of me, gets in the way of avodas Hashem. Shemasiso lekol taivos achila u'shesia. It gets me involved in all sorts of taivas, first and foremost, eating and drinking. Eating and drinking. It's one of the biggest taivas we have. Now, because we eat kosher, we often don't think of it as, what am I? I'm eating kosher food. But we still often eat in a gluttonous fashion. And our excitement for eating is sometimes very not in the spirit of Torah. And we remind ourselves every time that we eat, that hold on a second, the whole world was ruined because eating something in the wrong way, by taking from that tree in Gan Eden. V'yishamin yeshurin v'yivat, or as the pasuk says, that yeshurin, the Jewish people, yishamin became fattened, which obviously comes about from eating, v'yivat, and then they kicked, then they rebelled. When a person eats a good meal, you feel full, you feel confident, and then sometimes you get yourself into trouble. Ubiprat chas v'shalom mishenichshol b'machalos asuros u'dvarim tameim v'nispatim be'iser. All the more so a person who's not so careful. Oh, I heard this hechsher's fine. Yeah, someone told me it's not a problem. Right? Or a person who's not careful, as the parsha ends and highlights this point in the clearest of ways. The importance of what? Of not eating bugs. Right? It's annoying. Yeah, when you take a head of romaine lettuce, it takes a few minutes to check it, to rinse it off, to make sure there's no bugs, right? There's certain vegetables which are very difficult to wash and should probably be avoided al pi halacha, right? So when a person eats things that are tamei, it damages his kedusha. It damages his insights. Asher lo kein orach tzadikim shuko or noga hamishabrim ta'avasam v'lo lemalos kresam. As opposed to tzadikim who are very careful to conquer their taivos and they don't fill their stomachs. A tzaddik is able to eat very little. He doesn't become obsessed with food. He certainly doesn't, print magazines where every other page is a glossy ad enticing you to the latest delicacies, which is all taiva. V'lachein libam birashusam la'avodas Hashem b'torah v'maisim tovim. A tzaddik is busy filling himself up with what? Filling his kishkas with what? With Torah, with mitzvos, with tefillah. Food, yeah, we need to eat. And you should enjoy it. Hashem made a lot of delicious foods in the world. You should enjoy it. But don't lose yourself in it. V'zeh she'amar David HaMelech. That's what David HaMelech said. La'asos ritzoncha elokai chafatzti. Hashem, my desire is to what? To do your will. And therefore, torascha b'soch me'ai. What do I fill my stomach with? I fill my stomach with what? I fill my stomach with Torah. I make sure that I understand that what I put in my Torah b'shebe me'ai, to guard the Torah in my innards, not to allow my stomach, which again means my Yitzhar inside of me, not to allow my innards, right, to always be craving more taiva, more desire. I don't want to be held back from walking the proper path. And that's exactly what our pasuk is saying to us. Think about it. The Medrash is talking about the general, how the entire body has filled with opportunities to do mitzvos. Mitzvos of the head, mitzvos of the arm, mitzvos of the flesh, mitzvos of the mila. Why does it put it in the context of what? These are the animals you're allowed to eat. Because the way that a Jew eats And the what that a Jew eats is going to have a hashpa on the entire body. When you eat food, obviously, it becomes your body. Right? The nutrients are pumped throughout the body. So your arm is benefiting from that food, as is your head, as are your legs, etc., etc. The entire body is going to receive from that which you eat. And therefore, the pasuk reminds us so carefully, Shehizir akasev shalo leachol dvarim hatmeim. Don't eat unholy things. We just spent a yontov of Pesach eating matzah, of eating emunah. Torascha besoch mei. I'll tell you a gavaldic thing I saw in a sefer. You know what Rav Uri of Strelitz used to do? I'll tell you what Rav Uri of Strelitz used to do. He was a great tzaddik. Rav Uri from Strelitz used to take the wheat that he would use to bake matzah, and he would hang it up in the Beis Medrash. He would gather the wheat before Pesach, and then throughout the Chorev Zman, leading up to Pesach, he would bundle up that wheat, and he would hang it up in the Beis Medrash. He would tie it to the rafters, right, in like a big satchel, right? So that way, that throughout the Zman, when the Talmidim were learning in the Beis Medrash, the words of Torah that they were saying was entering into the wheat. And all of the Shemona Esrei that were davened in that place, all of the words of Torah and Tefillah that were spoken would have a hashpa on the wheat. If that sounds like a crazy idea, Chaver, you all just did this. What did you do before you ate your matzah? You told the story of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, right? You uncovered the matzahs and you spoke to the matzahs. It's called lechem oni, according to the one opinion in the Gemara, because it's what? It's lechem she'onim alav dvarim harbe. It's bread in which we talk a lot in front of. When we tell the story of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim in the presence of the matzah, we're charging up the matzah with kedusha. And then what do I do with the matzah? I put it inside of me. I eat it. I put that kedusha inside of me. I saw in another sefer, the Kava Yashar, he says that when they would draw the water that they would use to bake the matzah, the water that they would prepare to bake the matzah, there was a minhag to say the Aleph Beis while you were drawing the water. Aleph Beis, Gimel, Dalet, Hey, Vav, Zayin, Ches. Why are you saying the Aleph Beis while you're drawing water for the matzah? Because the letters are holy. And the letters enter into that water. And then the water enters into the matzah. And then when you eat it, it enters into you. So therefore, says the Medrash, if you want to serve Hashem with all of your body, it starts first and foremost with what you put into your body. Be careful. Don't eat unholy things. V'lo tishaksu es nafsho seichem. Don't damage yourself by eating impure things. Lo tishaksu es nafsho seichem. V'ya al yedeza meniyah be'avodas Hashem yisbarach v'avaso. It's sometimes very hard to love Hashem properly if you don't eat properly. If you don't eat kosher foods, it's metamtem nalev. Ki advar matmeyam nikrim b'shem asur. Because things which are tameh are called asur. Asur means tied up. It's bound. It's off limits. Sheim asurim beklipa. It's trapped in the klipa. Ve'ein lehem aliyah ad yamos haketz shiavu ruach hatuma min haaretz. And the only way to cleanse that from a person is when Mashiach comes and Mashiach removes that tumah once and for all. So what you put inside of you is there to stay. It becomes you. It's infused in your limbs. And therefore our parsha, again, I think so fittingly, coming after the Yom Tov of Pesach, reminds us of the importance of being sensitive to these things. Okay? Chevra, we've learned a lot already today, but we didn't even start yet. We mamish didn't start. Okay? The best is yet to come. The best is about to come. First of all, let's just review for 3 seconds this piece. We learned this piece. If you remember our shiur on the angels at your Pesach Seder, if you remember, we quoted from our Rebbe, the Avodas Yisrael in Parsha Shemini. On this pasuk, we read this piece. Ki ani Hashem hamala eschem eretz Mitzrayim, lios lachem leelokim, v'yisim kedoshim ki ani Hashem. If you remember, the Avodas Yisrael explains, when Moshe Rabbeinu went to get the Torah, the angels in Shemayim said, why are you giving the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu? Why would you waste the Torah on humans? And Moshe Rabbeinu responds to them, did you serve in Mitzrayim? Did Hashem take you out of Mitzrayim? It says in the Torah, I am Hashem, your God, who took you out of Mitzrayim. Angels, were you slaves in Mitzrayim? So if you remember, we explained, when we left Mitzrayim, Hashem himself took us out of Mitzrayim. It was Ani v'lo Malach. And the Arizal explained to us, why is it Ani v'lo Malach? You remember? Why couldn't a Malach take us out of Mitzrayim? Because the Tumah was so thick in Mitzrayim that even a Malach who would have gone into Mitzrayim would have been damaged by what? By the Tumah of Mitzrayim. And therefore, our Pasuk is praising Klal Yisrael. Ani Hashem HaMala Eschem Eretz Mitzrayim. I am Hashem who took you out of Mitzrayim. Moshe Rabbeinu says to the angels, were you servants in Mitzrayim? What was Moshe saying to them? Moshe was saying to them, you wouldn't have survived the second of Mitzrayim. You never would have made it in Mitzrayim. We, on the other hand, went to Mitzrayim, went through all of that Tuma, and somehow remained intact. And therefore, as a praise to Klal Yisrael, Ani Hashem Hamala Eschem Eretz Mitzrayim. I am Hashem who took you out of Mitzrayim. Moshe is saying to the angels, we survived Mitzrayim. And the proof of that is that Hashem was the only one who could come to take us out of Mitzrayim. You wouldn't have been able to take us out of Mitzrayim. And therefore, we remind ourselves once again that as Jews, we're even greater than angels. Okay? That was review from our pre-Pesach Shir. But now, however, last but not least, I told you at the beginning, you'll never say the bracha Asher, Kiddushanu, B'mitzvosav, V'tzivanu, the same again. Okay, so listen carefully. V'ayisem kedoshim. The pasuk says, in my edition, this is a separate piece, right? Starting over here. V'ayisem kedoshim. Chevra, first and foremost, what is kedusha? You have to know what the word means. Holiness. We can do better than that. What is kedusha? Kimilas kedusha nemar alashon hafrasha utruma. Something kodesh, as we had it just yesterday, when we were talking about netilas yadayim and srach truma, and we saw that the Torah calls truma kodesh. What does kodesh mean? It doesn't just mean holy. It means truma, set aside, designated. So therefore, the pasuk tells us we want to be holy. This is a parsha of kedusha. Again, we just went through Pesach. We cleansed ourselves inside and out. We're on our way to Har Sinai. We need to be an Am Kadosh. Kedusha means hafrasha and truma. Not parsha, hafrasha. Hafrasha, separation, and truma, and designation. B'nemar gam ken al davar mizuman umuchan. Something which is designated or prepared. That's kedusha. Kamo lo yihyeh kadesh mi b'nei Yisrael. There shouldn't be a kadesh. You know what a kadesh is? A kadesh is a male prostitute. There shouldn't be kadesh and kadesh amongst the Jewish people. A prostitute is a person who's what? Who's mizuman, who's ready to do whatever you'll pay the person. Right? Kedusha, also in a positive sense, is also designated. Right? Is identified. V'nemar gam ken al kol inyan kedusha. V'kol ha-peirushim hei morim al inyan echad. And all of these different translations are all saying the same thing. Separated, designated, prepared, in a readied state. What does that all mean? Ki I afshar la'adam lios kadosh b'kedusha shomala, ela imkein hu poresh uvodel atzmo mikol taivos in yanei olam. Chevra, you have to make a choice. If you want to live a life of kedusha, the word kedusha doesn't just mean holy, it means separate. That means I have to be prepared to separate from certain things. I can't do whatever I want and then expect to be kadosh. I have to be prepared to give certain things up. And that's sometimes very hard. Umazminas atmo lashros kvod habore barucho. And I need to designate myself. I need to prepare myself. I need to make a clear decision that I want to be a space for Hashem. We built the Mishkan. We worked hard. And then Moshe spent 7 days trying to get it going. And then Aaron takes over on the 8th day. And finally, Hashem comes down. But it took a lot of work. It took a lot of preparation. It took a lot of designation. It's only then when a person says, I'm prepared to put down certain things, to remove myself, to detach myself, to be poresh from certain things, az yochol lekabel kedushas habore baruch hu. Vizeh asher kiddushanu b'mitzvosav. And this is the beginning of our explanation of asher kiddushanu b'mitzvosav. What does it mean? Asher Kiddush, Hashem has sanctified us with His mitzvos. That's not the full translation. Asher Kiddushanu b'mitzvosav means that Hashem has what? Has made us distinct with His mitzvos. Hashem has designated us with His mitzvos. Milashon Kiddushin, Harei At Mekudeshes Li. What is Kiddushin? The Gemara says that when a man says to a woman, Harei At Mekudeshes Li, it doesn't mean that you're holy to me. It means that you're designated to me. As the Gemara says, "The Aser La Akuli Alma Kehektish," she becomes forbidden to the entire world, Akule Alma on the whole world, like Hektish, like something designated for the Beis Hamikdash. There's an exclusivity in the relationship. Va'oz hi mizumenis lo levado v'zenikra kedushin. So when the husband and wife decide we're going to have an absolutely exclusive relationship, that is called kedushin. And by the way, to the degree that the relationship is exclusive,
to the degree that there's a real bond in their marriage, that's how holy their marriage will be as well. It goes hand in hand. Ukechol hachizayon hazeh anu tzrichim lios kedoshim liboreinu. So in a similar fashion, and Chavre, it's a beautiful image to think about on the way to Shavuos, the wedding of Klal Yisrael and Hashem. In a similar fashion, we need to what? We need to designate ourselves to marry Hashem. Ki kadosh ani. Hashem says, you should be kadosh because I am kadosh. What does that mean? Be kadosh because I'm kadosh. What does that mean? So he says the following. Look what he writes here. It's very strong. He says, Perush, sha'ani bivadai muchan umizuman lekadish aschem b'chol rega. Hashem says, I am ready every second to marry you. Sha'ani bivadai muchan umizuman. Hashem says, I'm kadosh. I'm ready. The holdup is not on my side. We say, Hashem, we want Mashiach. Hashem says, no. You don't want it enough. I want Mashiach. I'm ready. Hashem, I want to live a holy life. Hashem says, no. I'm ready. Get yourself ready in a serious way. That's what Sfiras HaOmer is all about. Ani bevadai muchan umezuman lekadesh eschem b'chol rega. I'm ready to marry you. I'm ready to sanctify you. I'm ready to be mekabel tfilaschem v'soraschem. Hashem says, there's no hang-ups on my side. I'm standing at the chuppah. I'm ready. Rakatem tzrichem lios kedoshim umezuman. But Hashem says to us, I need you to show up. I need you to get yourselves ready, and I need you to show up in a serious way, wanting to complete your side of the marriage. Hashem says, I'm kadosh. I'm ready. I'm designated. I'm exclusive with you. I chose you over the rest of the world. Now I need you to choose me back. So now the Kadosh Baruch Hu Magid builds on this. And he says, let's go deeper into Asher Kedishanu B'Mitzvosav. What is Asher Kedishanu B'Mitzvosav? What does that mean, Asher Kedishanu B'Mitzvosav? How does that work? If Hashem is the chasan, and we're the kala, who gives who the ring? Who gives who the ring at the wedding? The chasan is mekadesh the isha. So let me ask you, Asher Kedishanu B'Mitzvosav, Asher Kedishanu B'Mitzvosav, we need to understand what that is. We're doing the mitzvah, we're giving the mitzvah to Hashem, right? We're the ones who are now, Hashem doesn't do the mitzvah for us, we're doing the mitzvah for Hashem. So look how he explains it. Look what he says here. Va'agav omer lecha ma'shamarti kvar b'nusach asher kedishanu b'mitzvosav. Let me explain to you what asher kedishanu b'mitzvosav means. Perish, shehu kidesh osanu al yidei ha'mitzvos, sheniyah anachnu mikudashim kmo ha'isha ha'mikudashos labala. The mitzvos serve as the mechanism to make a kedushin, to make a marriage. We marry Hashem through the mitzvos. Kamosha kasavnu kama svarim hakadoshim, as the svarim hakadoshim explain. But chevra, listen to this. Ulechora yesh letmua. But let's ask the following question. Kevan de paskinan b'shulchan aruch evin ha'ezer simin chav zayin. Since we paskin, the halacha is, de b'kedushin tzarech shiitein habal kesef kedushin li'isha, v'lo shetitein hi. Since the halacha is very clear that who gives who the ring at the chuppah, the husband gives the wife the ring, she doesn't give to him, right? A double ring ceremony, or Moshe Feinstein writes, in a tshuva is not an appropriate thing. There's no double ring ceremonies in Judaism, right? The man is the one who gives the ring to the woman and says, Harei at mekudeshes li. He's mashpia and she's mekabel. Masha ein kein, anachdu omrim, sha'kedushin heim al yedei mitzvos shano osin b'masi yadeinu. But we're the ones who are doing the mitzvos. We're the ones who are actively, Hashem, what? Hashem says, I'm ready to receive your Torah, I'm ready to receive your tefillah, I'm ready to receive your mitzvos. Receive? Why is Hashem receiving? Hashem is the chasan. The chasan is the one who's giving. Chevi, you chap the question? You hear the question? Dani, it makes sense? Why are we giving the mitzvos to Hashem? Hashem is giving us. Hashem's supposed to give us. So you'll say, well, Hashem gave us the opportunity to do the mitzvahs. No, but we're the ones where Hashem says, I'm ready, I'm mikudash. So our Rebbe says something, and this is a famous piece, Chevra. Okay, I don't say that every week. All right, some pieces I tell you it's a great piece, but I don't always say it's a favorite. This is a famous piece. This is a well-known idea from the Kashrut Tzur Magid, from our Rebbe, the Avodas Yisrael. V'yesh li'yashiv ha'inyin. Perhaps we can explain as follows. Because the halacha says, it's based on a Gemara in Kiddushin. The Gemara says in the Halacha Paskins, "Be'adam chashuv, afilu nasnahi mikudeshas." A very fascinating halacha.
if the chassan is a very chashiv person, if the chassan is a very distinguished person, world renowned, with a wonderful reputation, he's a chashiv. How we define chashiv is a good question, but if the chassan is a chashiv person, that the kala feels that the schus of marrying this chassan is itself a tremendous schus, and if I were to give something to the chassan, the fact that he's willing to take it, I feel honored by that. The fact that he's willing to take something from me, I get pleasure from that. So the halacha is fascinating. The halacha says, by an adam chashuv, even if she gives him something, the fact that he's willing to take it from her gives her such pleasure, it's as if he's giving her something. He's given her the enjoyment of knowing that he's willing to receive. Wow, this chashuv a guy is willing to take something from me? Mikudeshes, that's as if he's giving her hana, even though she actually gave him an object. But his willingness to receive gave her such pleasure that it's as if he gave her something, and Kedushin works in that sense. So Chever, listen to this. We say to ourselves, what are the chances that Hashem is going to be interested in me? What's the likelihood that Hashem wants my mitzvahs? Hashem has angels in Shemayim. Hashem has big tzaddikim. I'm a regular guy. Why would Hashem want to marry me? But the halacha says that if an adam chashuv is willing to take something from a kala who's, I guess, not as chashuv, right, is more regular, that gives her tremendous hana. That gives her unbelievable hana. Right? De makabel matana mimena gamra umakne nafshe. That it's as if by receiving her gift, she says, I get benefit from that, and the kinyan is complete. So v'yesh lomar b'nidon didan. So let's apply it to our situation. Ho'el sheyesh liotzreinu yisbarach malachim u'masharsim serafim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has angels in Shemayim who are much better candidates. If Hashem wants to be married to someone, you know, more on his wavelength. So marry a malach. Why do you want to marry a human being, basar v'dam? You want to be married to me, Hashem? Angels in Shemayim, serafim, ofanim, chayos hakodesh, HaMahalim Shmo Tamud Ukvoda Yisbarach Pona Berachmim Va'ova Tehila Lakal Matano Mitzvos Midore Gai Umidale Mas. Hashem turns away from the angels with Rachmanis and he wants to receive our gift, our mitzvos. We're an impoverished Kala, we're not worthy. And Hashem says, I'll take your gift. So we feel overwhelmed by that. And that completes the Kedushin. So Asher Kedishanu B'mitzvosav. Those three words are packed. Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvosav. What we're saying is, we're reminding ourselves every time we do a mitzvah, Hashem says, I'm ready to receive. And you ask yourself, receive? Why are you receiving? You're the chassan, you should be giving. But then I say to myself, wait a minute. The fact that Hashem is giving me this opportunity to do a mitzvah, to give him that gift of a mitzvah, is unbelievable. I feel overwhelmed by that. That's an unbelievable kindness of Hashem, that Hashem wants me. And because of that, the marriage is complete in a beautiful way, and we feel overwhelmed by this chus of being able to do a mitzvah. Okay, so then he says, but let's connect it again to our topic at the end of our parsha, which contextualizes kedusha with what you eat or what you don't eat. So he quotes a gemara in Bava Metzia. The gemara says that two tzaddikim were talking one time, and one said to the other, why does it say Hamala Eschem, right, in our pasuk? Ani Hashem Hamala Eschem me'Eretz Mitzrayim. I am Hashem who brought you up from Eretz Mitzrayim. Usually the Torah says Hashem is Motzi me'Eretz Mitzrayim. He took us out of Mitzrayim. Why by this pasuk, which talks about the kedusha a Jew has to have by not eating bugs, does it say Hashem is Mala Eschem from Mitzrayim? So the Gemara answers, as was taught in the Yeshiva of Rabbi Yishmael, Tana de Bei Rabbi Yishmael, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ilmali lo ha'alisi es Yisrael, Elo lefi, she'ein metamim b'shratzim, dai. Hashem says to Klal Yisrael, to take you out of Mitzrayim, just so that you won't eat bugs, that you'll check your lettuce, that you'll wash your strawberries before you eat them, dayenu. That's already a level of Kedusha that most of the world doesn't have. What does that mean? Hamalas, it was worth it to lift you up from Mitzrayim, just that you should be careful with what you eat. Dayenu. What does that mean? That you shouldn't eat shrotzim, that you shouldn't eat creepy crawly things. So says our Rebbe, an unbelievable thing. However, why is a sheretz called a sheretz? Well, hine al milas sheretz, on this word, sheretz, which again means a bug, targuma rachash. The Targum translates it as rachash. You know what rachash means? Rachash means, kamo l'chol richasha de rachish al ara. It translates a sheretz hashoretz al aretz as a richasha de rachish al ara. What does the word rachash mean? Rachash means to crawl along. Crawling, like a baby crawling across the floor, moves very slowly. Learn, right? Not running, crawling. Rachash. Rachash hu inyan mahalich la'at la'at. Moving very, very slowly. Shelo b'merutza. Right? That's what the word rachash means. But ask the Avodas Yisrael, I don't understand. The word sheretz, first of all, bugs, some bugs move extremely quickly, right? Unbelievably fast. Much faster than most regular people. You ever see a spider? Right? A little spider, like you're about to try to catch this little spider that's crawling around on your desk, yeah? And the second you try to make a move, it's much faster than you, right? So I don't understand. A sheretz, on the one hand, the Targum, the Aramaic translation is what? Is rachash, which means to move very, very slowly. But asks the Avodas Yisrael, l'chore inu muvan, I don't understand. The Targum doesn't make sense. Ki adraba, onu roin mahalach hasheretz hu b'mrutza. We see that shrotzim move, in fact, very quickly. And actually, the word sheretz, interestingly enough, is what? It's called the sheretz mipnei sheratz, because it's rutz, it's running. So is it moving slowly or is it moving quickly? It's a great question. Is the sheretz a rachash? Is it moving slowly? Or is it moving very quickly? So he says, I'll give you a mashal to explain. A mashal of a mother walking with her little child. Think about it. It's such a perfect mashal. Kishaim mehaleches la'at. When the mother takes one step, and the little child, right, the little boy or girl holding mommy's hand with the tiny little footsteps, the parent is walking at a normal pace of an adult. But because the parent takes bigger steps, what looks like a slow step for a parent, the child is like running just to keep up. The child has to move the feet very quickly just to keep up with the adult. So the mother is mahaleches ma'at, ubna rats achareha, eino doma mahalcho l'mahalecheim. Right? But the child, for every step the mother takes, the child has to take, 10 steps. Why? Because the child with the little legs has a hard time keeping up. Because the steps of the child, the legs are short, legs are small, and the steps are narrow. So you know why Hashem made bugs quick? You know why many bugs move very, very quickly? Because they're so small, to compensate for their small size, Hashem gave them speed. That's how they keep up, so to speak. Very interesting. So on the one hand, right, you could say that the speed that the spider is moving so quickly across the floor, but all you have to do is take three regular sized steps and you've already outpaced the spider. He's moving so fast, but he's moving very slowly. Right? You're moving what? You're moving slowly, but you're actually covering a lot of space. Well, what's this idea? What's our Rebbe telling us? So, Chevra, the same thing is true in Avodas Hashem. In Avodas Hashem, there's times when you think you're moving quickly, and there's times when you think you're moving slowly. And we got to just read to the end of the piece, okay? I'll skip ahead a couple of lines, but we got to see this punchline. In Avodas Hashem, sometimes a person thinks, when I first started learning, things were like really moving. And now things are really starting to slow down. But I'll tell you, it's a mistaken perspective. And he quotes an unbelievable thing here, in the name of the Baal Shem Tov, that the Baal Shem Tov once appeared to the Kajetzer Magid in a dream. Look what happened. Kamosha ani ba'atzvi pam echad re'isi Rav Yisrael Baal Shem Tov zal b'chalom. In the left-hand column here. I'm moving fast, but maybe I'm moving fast like a spider and I'm not really covering that much ground. Or maybe I'm moving slow like an adult, but my steps are actually big steps. So look what he said. I asked the Baal Shem Tov one time in a dream, the Kashrus Magid says, when I first entered into Avodas Hashem, when I first started connecting to these types of tzaddikim, I felt that what? I was growing unbelievably fast. Hirgashti ba'atmi shinoi letova miyom al yom be'esa katora lishmo v'kavanas atvilo shar masim. I felt Like things were happening really quickly. I felt like my mind was open and I was receiving all sorts of wondrous transformations that was happening so quickly. Va'ata, but now, I kind of got used to it. In any margish klal hashinoi, I don't feel the changes in my life. V'nidma li kmo yom esmol ken hayom. I feel like yesterday and today is exactly the same. I don't feel any difference from one day to the next. U'kmo ken yom machar, tomorrow will probably be the same thing. And chaver, this is a very common feeling in Avodas Hashem. It's a very common feeling in Avodas Hashem. Right? There was a point, you know, during Shana Aleph when I got into it and I felt like every day I was like a different person. And now what? Now like I'm not growing anymore. Now life's not happening anymore. So the Baal Shem Tov responded to me. V'heishav li b'derech mashal. Kishatinok lomed Aleph Beis, o Siddur, o Chumish, mideyom biyomo. When a child is learning what? A pasuk for the first time. Or Aleph Beis. Every day is a new letter, right? My son comes home from school and says, Daddy, you know, today we learned a new word. Today we learned a new letter. Today we learned a new idea, right? Always, everything's always new for a child. So Nikar Hashinoi Bo, Shalomed Yoser Ma Shalomed Esmo. The change from one day to the next is so dramatic that it feels like, wow, it's a totally different world from one day to the next. Yeah? But what happens when you get a little bit older? So Lamashal, again, Beshvu Ha'avar Lomed Parsha Achas, Chumish Va'ata Lomed Shtei Parshios V'Kiyotze Bo. Right? When you're first learning, when you're reading the Pasuk for the first time, last week we learned one Pasuk, this week our Rebbe taught us two Pasukim, right? Now we're up to learning five psukim a day. Right? There's like tremendous growth. But it's all on a very childish level. But when you get a little bit older, now you're learning gefes. What's gefes? Gemara, Peirush, and Tosfos. It's another way of saying Gemara, Ashi, Tosfos. It's called gefes. Gemara with the Peirush and Tosfos. Right? Gemara, Rashi, and Tosfos. You're learning Gemara with Peirush, Rashi, with Tosfos. And you're learning the poskim, v'huma pulpul gadol, and you realize the sugya is very deep. So you spend what? You spend a whole week on one line of Gemara. And you feel like, I didn't learn anything this week. I learned one line, right? What did you learn this week? One line of Gemara. One line of Gemara? What a joke. You're not a serious guy. Well, I learned that one line of Gemara, as explained by Rashi, and Tosfos, and the Ritva, and Rashba, and then I saw what the Shulchan Aruch says, and Machlokes Magen Avraham and the Taz, right? But sometimes it doesn't feel like you're moving as quickly. But you're learning deep. You're taking bigger steps at a slower pace. As opposed to what, as a kid, is like that little sheretz who's running around and is able, every day it feels like a different world, right? But you're not actually, you know, learning quite as deep. So when you're learning in a deep way, a niko voshino yom yomio, you don't feel the change from one day to the next. Avnam lefi ro'os ene asecha. But if you're a mature person, the step that the mother takes in one step, the child has to run 100 steps to keep up. So who's doing better, right? The baby that's, you know, that's trying to crawl on the floor, or the adult who's able to walk on their feet? Yeah, the little bug that's crawling around on the ground, or the adult? Obviously, growth when you're an adult. Right? Yes, you don't feel it the same way, but it's deeper. And with maturity, you understand what that growth is about. Ki hema bekatnus, the child is a katan, and an adult is an adult. Ad kan l'shono v'divrei pi chacham chen. This is what I heard from the Baal Shem Tov in my dream, and it's a very, very wise idea. V'hu davar chachma nifla. This is an awesome idea. V'al pi ha'inyin hanal tavin kam inyanam b'sfira v'gadlus v'katnus. And if you understand this idea well, you'll understand its connection to Sfiras HaOmer. The awesome experience of what? The excitement of Leil HaSeder versus the day in and day out. Today is the 11th day of the Omer. Tomorrow will be the 12th day of the Omer. Then the 13th day of the Omer. Right? But in a certain sense, the steps that we're taking now after the Seder, in some way are deeper. They seem like smaller steps, but they're bigger steps. Right? The Seder has, we have to become children at the Seder. Kana Ben Shoel. At the Seder, the child asks the Manishtana. The child is the centerpiece of the Seder. V'igadata levincha. You're teaching the youthful part of yourself. So it's very exciting, right? But when you become more mature, you realize that sometimes the quiet moments and sort of the slow moments in Avodas Hashem are actually the deepest moments in Avodas Hashem. Okay? So what an unbelievable yesod. And again, built off of this concept of Asher Kedishanu b'mitzvosav, to feel overwhelmed by the kindness of Hashem, the Kedusha that Hashem granted us. Again, when He took us out of Mitzrayim, and Hashem says, don't be a bug, don't be a katan, don't be someone who only feels excitement in Avodas Hashem when everything's moving fast. Don't be such a baby. Grow up a little bit. Learn that if a mother takes a big step, right, it's worth 100 small steps of a katan. Okay? All right, Chevra. A lot of important yesodos in Avodas Hashem. Really big ideas. Really big ideas. No, we're very lucky that we get to learn the Avodas Yisrael every week. I'm saying, how many chaburas in the world exist of a weekly shiur in Avodas Yisrael for 45 minutes plus? We went a little long today, I'm sorry.